A few years ago, I was in this shoe store. I don't remember what the name of the shoe store was. Doesn't really matter. But I heard this kid, and I say kid, he was a teenager, early teens, maybe 14, 15 years old. And he was pissing and moaning to his mama about how poor and how it sucks to be poor because he wanted a pair of tennis shoes that they could not afford. A pair of tennis shoes that weren't even sold at this particular store. Now, understand, growing up, I didn't call them tennis shoes. They were sneakers when I was growing up. But hell, I'm a lot older than most. But I thought about what he was talking about, and he ended up getting a pair of tennis shoes that, I don't know, they were around $100. But what struck me was that he said to his mama about how it sucks to be poor. And I thought, son, you have no idea what growing up poor is all about. The beginning of my childhood, my dad was career military. And do you think the military doesn't pay good now? Back then, it hardly paid at all. So we did grow up poor. Thing is, we didn't know that we were poor. Now, my parents knew we were poor, but my sister and I, we didn't know. It was just the way we lived. We would get our groceries from the base commissary, which was a grocery store on base, and we would get other sundry items, washing powder, that kind of stuff, which you would normally go to Walmart for, from the base PX. For those of you who don't know what a PX is, that stands for post exchange. But things were way, way cheaper at the commissary and at the post exchange or the PX. My dad would pull extra duty to make extra money. Usually it was peeling potatoes at the KP or kitchen post. Now the government didn't pay him extra for this extra duty. Someone would want to not have to peel potatoes that day and would pay him just cash money to go take his post. My mama would clean houses for people, and my dad, oh, he could shoot pool. So he would go into a pool hall somewhere, might have $1 or $2 in his pocket, and bet $40 or $50 on a game of pool. And fortunately, he always won. But it was a struggle growing up when we didn't have money for clothes and shoes and that sort of thing. Well, that's when mama would go to making the garage sales and the Salvation Army, and of course, good old Goodwill. Now, I really never gave much thought, or honestly, any thought to the fact that my clothes were secondhand, used clothes, that my shoes were pretty well worn out by the time I got them. None of that mattered to me. I was just really proud to have them, you know. I will say that it was rather embarrassing. I was in the second grade at Overton Elementary in Lubbock, Texas. And I go to school wearing my new clothes that my mother had just gotten me at a garage sale the weekend before. Until I went into the lunchroom and some kids started making fun of me. Now, being made fun of in the cafeteria at school was not a new thing for me because I was on the free lunch program. Back in those days, if it was free lunch, you didn't get what everybody else got. You went through a separate line. So you automatically stood out just by being in the free lunch line. And for lunch, every day you were served a peanut butter sandwich. Now, notice I did not say peanut butter and jelly because there was not any jelly on the sandwich. It was a piece of bread with a smear of peanut butter and then another piece of bread. And of course, there was a little carton of milk that went along with it. Not the good chocolate milk now, just plain old white milk. But on this particular day, these kids were making fun of me because not only was I in the free lunch line getting my peanut butter sandwich, but I was wearing this kid's brother's clothes. Kids can be very, very cruel. Now, at that time, I also still had a very bad speech impediment. Hell, I couldn't say my own name because I couldn't say the letter R. And there are two of those in my name. Plus, I was head and shoulders taller than anybody else, and I outweighed all of my classmates by probably 75 pounds. I was redheaded, freckle faced, and pretty damn awkward. But I tell you, it really, really got to me whenever those kids were making fun of me for wearing his older brother's used clothing. I did get in a whole lot of trouble that day because instead of saying anything to that kid, and he was in my same class with me, I walked up to him and I hit him dead square in his face. That was not the right thing to do. Please understand. And now, the older me, I know that. But I didn't know what else to do because the kids were laughing at me. And it did make them stop laughing. That, that's for damn sure. I got sent to Mr. Jackson's office. That was the principal there. Back in those days, you didn't have to have anybody's permission for an administrator or a teacher to spank a kid. If the kid needed spanking, the kid got a spanking. And in that case, well, he tore my little ass up. I have to confess, though, that's not the first spanking I ever got at school. And it damn sure wasn't the last either. But it was the first time that I ever got a spanking at school and then did not get another spanking when I got home. Mama had this rule. If you get a spanking at school, you get a spanking at home because, well, you got in trouble for getting in trouble. I know I didn't think it was fair either, but that's just the way things were done back in the Stone Ages when I was in school. When school was out that afternoon, and I walked home, it wasn't very far from the school to the house. I was nervous as could be all afternoon until my mama got home, and I told her that I'd gotten a spanking. Of course, she was upset with me as soon as I told her, but then when she found out the reason that I got the spanking, it was the first time, and I think the only time, that I did not get punished for having gotten punished at school. She understood my reasoning, and it really broke her heart. On a little side note, though, for my duration at Overton Elementary, which included the rest of my second grade year and all of my third grade year, nobody ever laughed at me again. So I guess that was a positive. But you know, there's so much more to growing up poor, not just having to wear secondhand hand-me-down clothes. You learn to eat poor as well. Potatoes, or taters as I've always called them, well, they're mighty damn cheap. And you can cook potatoes in a jillion different ways, and by God, they're good, and I still love the hell out of them today. Pinto beans and navy beans and great northern beans, I still love them too. And I've eaten them every way you can fix them. Because you can buy pinto beans and navy beans and great northerns for just pennies. Hell, they're still cheap today. Back in those days, eggs were really cheap too because, well, you get some chickens and you grow more chickens from the chickens you got and you get a whole lot of eggs. And my God, I don't know how many eggs I've eaten in my life, but I've eaten them every way you can fix them. And to this day, I love hard-boiled eggs. Fried eggs, scrambled eggs, omelets, it doesn't matter. If it's an egg, by God, I like it. And chicken, too. We used to kill our own chickens. And I don't know how many times I've plucked feathers out of a chicken and pulled their innards out. I know that's kind of gross, but you can't cook the chicken with the innards in it. But you know what's kind of strange is none of that brings back bad memories for me. In fact, those foods bring back really good memories. It brings back memories of story time around the table, laughing and playing with my sister, finding an old rope and an old tire and making a tire swing on the tree in the backyard, spending hours swinging on that tire and then pushing my sister on the tire and then she'd push me for a while, playing hide and seek. And, you know, there's only so many places you can hide, so I'd know which direction she went, and then I'd go in the other direction and check all the other hiding places before I got to her, and she'd do the same thing for me. But when you grow up and all you've got is each other, well, you do the best you can, and you make the best of it. And there's not any complaining about it. It was shortly after the end of my third grade year when my parents divorced. My dad moved to Sulphur Springs, Texas from Lubbock. He was out of the military by then. My mother's sister and I moved to Brownwood, Texas. We lived in a small, very small, one bedroom, white framed house at 4004 4th Street there in Brownwood. My mother had a twin size bed that she slept in there in that bedroom. My sister, she slept on an old army cot. And me, well, I probably had the most secure place in the house. I slept in the bathtub. That old house had a clawfoot bathtub in it, and it was old enough that it didn't have these modern toilets that we have now. It had the old pull chain. It had the tank mounted up on the wall with a pipe coming down. Of course, there was the toilet bowl, and after you used the restroom, you know, for me, although I was tall, I'd have to stand up to be able to reach the chain, to be able to pull the chain to flush the commode. Now, don't think for a second that we didn't take baths because I slept in the bathtub. We did take baths every single day. After the bath was done or the baths were done, we'd dry the tub out and put the quilts back in the bottom of the tub and my pillow, and I'd climb in there, and that's where I went to sleep. While telling this story, it's kind of strange the memories that come back to a man. We had a 13-inch black and white TV. Of course, there was no cable TV. I mean, there was, but we didn't have it. But every afternoon, there was a cartoon that came on called G-Force. Thinking back on it now is a pretty stupid little cartoon, but that was my favorite cartoon. I couldn't wait to get home from school and watch G-Force. I don't know if 4004 4th Street, if the house even still exists. And I don't know if that's still in what would be considered the poor part of town or not. But back then it was definitely poor. And so the friends that I had in the neighborhood, they were all just as poor as we were. So no one made fun of me for not having a bedroom of my own or really nice things, because it was all exactly the same way for everyone. I turned 9 years old in Brownwood. That was October the 12th, 1977. For my birthday, my mama found a bicycle at a garage sale, but it was in good shape. It had a banana seat and monkey bar handlebars. And man, that was cool. Now, you got to bear in mind, this is the late 70s, so monkey bar handlebars, or ape hangers, they'd be called on a motorcycle now. Man, that was a cool thing to have. There were a couple of neighbor kids that lived behind us. Now, there was a big backyard of that house, and there was a little creek behind that, and you cross that creek, and that's where those other kids lived. One Saturday morning, I go outside. I'm going to ride my bicycle, and it's gone. Well, I go looking for it, as any kid would, you know. I mean, hell, that was probably the nicest thing I owned at the time. I know for me, it was my most prized possession. And sure enough, I found the bicycle. Those neighbor kids that lived behind me on the other side of the creek, they'd come over and snatched my bicycle. I waded through the creek, and I get over there, and I'm going to snatch it back from them. There was two of them. They were brothers, twin boys, and I don't remember their names. But they were not going to let loose of that bicycle, and I was bound and determined that, by God, they were going to turn loose of it. And the fight was on. That's when I found out it's a hell of a lot harder to fight two people at once than what they make it out to be on TV. I can promise you that. Fortunately for me, though, I was a hell of a lot bigger than they were. We were the same age, but I was at least a foot taller than them, and I must have outweighed them 50 pounds. When the dust all settled, though, I had a swollen up eye, and my lip was bleeding, and I was riding my by God bicycle. And you know, I think I've hated a thief ever since then. I don't remember the name of that school that I was in. That was the fourth grade. But it was just right up the street from our house, kind of like the school in Lubbock was. Mama wouldn't let me ride my bicycle to school. I thought that was pretty mean of her, but as it turns out, now that I'm older, I understand she couldn't afford to buy a chain and a lock for me to be able to lock that bicycle up, and she didn't want somebody stealing it from me. Just a couple of months after I turned 9 years old, that's when my parents decided to remarry. As I said earlier, my dad had moved to Sulphur Springs, and He had very, very good credit. He had one hell of a work ethic, and people there knew him because that's where he had grown up. And he had bought half interest in the Lone Star Truck Stop. There's a podcast about us moving back to Sulphur Springs and my parents remarrying already on the Haul Hero app here. But, you know, I kept that bicycle for a lot of years after that. In fact, it finally wore out. That bicycle finally wore out. And, I mean, I had ridden the wheels off of it, not literally. Well, I guess literally, because the back axle on the bicycle was worn out, and that's when we finally threw it away. But I was probably 12 years old whenever we got rid of that bicycle. I didn't tell this story for anyone to feel sorry for me. I don't want anyone's sympathy. There is nothing to be sympathetic about. No, we didn't have much. But what we did have was each other. And that included a whole lot of love. You know, I wouldn't change anything. And I've looked back on it a lot of times over the years. But I wouldn't change anything about the growing up poor. Because growing up the way I did is what made me into who I am today. And, you know, I don't feel sorry for that poor kid at the shoe store who had to settle for $100 pair of sneakers instead of a $300 or $400 pair of sneakers. I am bothered because this is a kid who's not going to know how to appreciate the things that he has. He's not going to appreciate how hard his parents have to work for what he has. And more than likely, when he becomes a parent, he is not going to know how to teach his children to appreciate the little things. Because it truly is the little things that result in the biggest things. And that shapes a person into being a responsible adult. I recorded this while sitting at a service plaza on the Indiana Toll Pike here in the great state of Indiana. And there's a Burger King in there. And I think I'm going to go order me some French fries. Because talking about those potatoes, I got it's made me a little hungry. Hey, I love all of you. I truly do. Thank you for listening.